My name is Robert, by the way. I'm a program manager on the Dynamics AX platform team. I'm here to talk to you about ALM solutions and ALM tools that the new Dynamics AX provides. ALM as an application lifecycle management, it's gonna be focused more on the developer persona, most of the tools I'm going to show. So can I have a show of hands? Who is familiar with the new Dynamics AX, which is also known as AX7? Okay, that's a good half of the crowd. So I'll start by describing the tools around how you develop, build, and test your application. I'm gonna also have a demo of this at the end. Next thing, I'll go around the supported workflows or supported process flows of how you move your code and data, starting on a dev box, all the way to sandbox and production. Then I'll go into installing hotfixes. It's also an overview of the supported processes, what type of hotfixes you can install, and how you go ahead and install them. I'll have a demo, and I think there'll be some time for Q&A at the end. Develop, build, and test. You're an app developer connected to LCS, which is the Lifecycle Services. It's the ALM portal for Dynamics AX, the new Dynamics AX. First thing you do is you're going to deploy your environments. You will deploy a dev box. You can also deploy a build box. You also have the option, and these are running in Azure. You also have the options of downloading your dev box and running it locally. It's actually a VHD you download, and you basically run a local VM. Also via LCS, if you have code applications running in an older version of Dynamics AX, we have a nice code upgrade tool that takes your older code via LCS, upgrades it to the new format, resolves conflicts for you, does a lot of magic that actually saves you a lot of time during the upgrade, and then checks in the result into your VSTS project. VSTS is becoming a requirement to develop on Dynamics AX. Of course, you don't have to use it, but if you don't use it, you're not gonna be able to take advantage of a lot of tools and a lot of end-to-end things we support you. So you have your code in VSTS, your upgraded code. We actually support upgrading from previous version of AX7, of the new Dynamics AX. We have a couple of versions out already. Or you can also upgrade your code from an AX 2012 model store. Once you have your dev VMs ready to go, you are using your Visual Studio tools. We have an extension on Visual Studio. It's basically DevTools and the X++ language running in .NET to develop, customize, and extend the AX app. There's a session on extensions and customization and development in general that is happening. It's in the related session slide later. I believe it's happening on Friday. If you're interested more in development and extensions, I would highly recommend you go to that session on Friday. This session is mostly focused on ALM. So as I said, you are using the VS tools to develop, extend, and customize AX. You also author your tests. You can debug, run, and test. So you have, in this dev environment, a one-box installation of all of the features of the new Dynamics AX. As you're developing, you are checking in your source code into Visual Studio Team Services. This is your source code repository. It is standard source control. There is no magic there. If anybody's familiar with the old AX 2012, we used to do all kinds of what we call magic to convert the XPO form, the AOT into some XPO files and check them in. Right now, we are fully file-based. All your artifacts are already files. So the integration with any version control system, and we support VSTS in this case, is actually very, very simple. It's just standard version control. The build machine you just deployed, is connected also automatically via LCS to your VSTS project. So all of this setup and deployment is done for you automatically. And as soon as you check in the code and you check in a descriptor file for a particular model, the build automation scripts know about it. So you can run daily builds or periodic builds. You can manually trigger a build also. And it actually automates your build, It runs all your tests, gives you results. It also generates what we call a deployable package. This is the package that you'll use to deploy to the cloud. So it basically automates the whole process for you. The developer, once the build is done, they can go also using standard VSTS tools, look at test results, inspect packages that were deployed. Basically, this is standard VSTS at this stage. On the other hand, once you are satisfied with a particular build, you can take that deployable package, the build box created for you, and deploy it via LCS to a sandbox environment. Once this is deployed, you actually will have your functional expert, which is not a developer in this case. You see that persona on the right, testing and validating that, yeah, this is a valid application. It is ready to be released. In the meantime, that functional expert can also be creating task recordings. There's a session also, it's a more deep dive in what task recordings are in Dynamics AX. I recommend you go attend it. And these task recordings, as the functional experts are recording them, he or she can convert them into XML files that also gets checked into VSTS. Once they are in your source code repository, the developer can grab them from there, sync them, and turn them into test code. There's a tool that automatically converts anything that your functional expert has run into a test code that can run in your build system. So I like to start with this slide because it tells the whole story. And if you go back several years, especially in the AX 2009-2012 timeframe, we provided guidelines and some tools around ALM. With the new Dynamics AX, we are committed to providing the end-to-end solution of ALM. So Microsoft is in this business for the long run. We are not leaving this gap to be filled by partners or customers and so on. We're not just simply creating white papers on how you do your ALM. We will be continuously providing a lot of end-to-end scenarios around DevALM and continuous delivery. Let me go through a couple of slides also related to guidelines, how we have been developing Dynamics AX, and we, as in the application teams, developing all the code base of Dynamics AX or the new Dynamics AX, and how we switched even the team culture from a more waterfall approach to an agile approach. And we'd like every ISV and every partner to basically follow this. You'll benefit from better quality and continuous delivery of your solution. So try to be agile. Always deliver incremental features in small cycles or sprints. Typically, you can use a sprint of 2 weeks or a cycle of one month. And as you do this, take advantage of the build automation tools that we provide you. It keeps your quality in check, and it makes sure at any given time you actually have a build that works. Use VSTS for work item tracking. Don't simply use it as a source code repository. And always prioritize bugs over feature. We have used this method to heart even internally at Microsoft, and we have decided in a lot of cases to cut some features just to take care of bug backlog. This is something that we have been pushing over the last couple of years, and I can already tell it paid off in terms of quality compared to previous releases of AX. Rely on test automation. Concentrate on unit tests. Unit tests are data independent. They run more reliably, and they really verify basically the code you check in. A smaller number of tests should be functional tests. These are tests that typically your functional expert has created via task recordings and are checked into your test automation system. Functional tests are more expensive to maintain. That's why we actually say have less of them, but have some, because they rely on data. They can't run on any environment. And they will actually they will fail as you are developing. So you'll be spending a lot of time maintaining them. So have less of those. Test automation. As I mentioned, limit your test recorder tests to functional scenarios only. As you're writing your test code, create helper classes so you can reuse them across different test cases. The SysTest framework of Dynamics AX allows you, which is the main framework to write your automated tests, allows you to associate a particular test case with a security role. Leverage that, it really helps, especially in the case of functional tests, where you can run your tests within the context of a security role, like an accountant or a system admin or, and so on. When you create test data, especially when you're dealing with functional tests, make sure you follow a procedure that looks like this. Always start on a clean environment. Create all the data as required. It will serve as the starting point of your tests. Once your data is created and you create a backup of it, you can share this backup with developers. You can also put it on the build VM that was deployed from LCS in a specific folder. It's basically a Dynamics AX backup database folder. And once your database is there, your test automation scripts are going to restore this data and automatically run your tests on this database. So make sure you have a clean database. We actually clean up with every run. Every run on the build machine is going to clean up all your metadata, clean up all your data, and start scratch from the build you are testing or building and from the data you are testing. Customization. It's a key topic in AX. AX is one of the most customizable system or ERP systems out there. We have introduced a new concept in the new Dynamics AX in AX 7 called extensions. So leverage that. Always start by extending the app instead of overlaying it, which is the old model. And only use overlaying as a plan B when extensions don't work. As we move forward, we're going to provide more and more extension. We already have a rich set of extension capabilities. When I talk about extension, these are metadata extensions, like extending tables, forms, et cetera. There's also code extensions, like event handlers and plugin. Again, and Peter is here, he will be talking about extension in more depth on Friday, so go ahead and attend that session. So in a lot of cases, you will find yourself that you need to overlay. So you need to basically change the code that Microsoft has shipped. You can do that, but even if you decide to overlay or keep your business logic in your own extension. And I can show you an example later. You can simply overlay by adding a delegate or an event in the code you are modifying, but implement the logic in your own extension. Try as much as possible not to have intrusive customization. It will make your upgrades simpler. It will basically make your ALM simpler. It will prevent you from having to build Microsoft code over and over again. If you put a delegate, for example, there, you just build it once and move on. And report common overlaying scenarios to Microsoft. If there is a pattern that you as a partner, an ISV or a customer, overlayer a lot, or you think, even if you do it once, but it'll add value to the system, report to us. We would like to know these, and we would like to add extension point in these cases, so people will have to overlayer less and less. Let me move to the next section. Next section is, and it basically deals with how you deploy code and data. I'll start with some definitions. What's a model? A model is a group of elements, model elements. They typically constitute a distributable solution. A model is a design time artifact. It is a similar, this concept existed in AX 2012, so we kept it the same. Usually, it's used by ISVs to distribute source code. It's used by your build automation to build. It is the main artifact you are working against as a developer. So I emphasize it is a design time artifact. On the other hand, a deployable package is a compiled binary of your models, of one or more models. It is the distributable unit when you are deploying to cloud runtime environments like sandbox and production. Typically, deployable packages do not contain source code. They only contain the binaries and all the additional resources, like third-party DLLs, reports, and so on, that your model needs at runtime. A data package. a lot of packages. Data package is basically a collection of data entities along with their data records. We use data packages in many scenarios to configure a sandbox environment when you go live for the first time, to do import and export via the data management feature of AX. We also use data packages to bulk editing of data. In the context of this session, data packages are mostly used to configure your environments with data before you go live, or even a little after you go live if you want to add more configuration data to your environments. DSE. DSE is a term you will see a lot if you go to Dynamics AX sessions, and I'm going to mention it today. This is the Dynamic Service Engineering team. It's a Microsoft team in charge of the Dynamics AX service. There are a lot of things, especially when you start dealing with production environment, you will not have control over. You will actually request, for example, to deploy a package on a production environment, you will request DSE to do it, and they'll actually service that request. Another thing I want to talk about is what's a hotfix, what's a metadata hotfix. It's a code package that Microsoft publishes when we have hotfixes to X++ code versus what the binary hotfix is when we actually service DLL and so on. It's important to know that this concept exists mostly if you overlay X++ code and you have custom code, you will have to go through a special process when you get a metadata hotfix. So this is the process flow of how you deploy your packages to your sandbox environment. As I said, you start on a development environment. You create a deployable package, and you upload that deployable package to the asset library in LCS. You also can create data packages on a test or development environment, and these also end up in your asset library in LCS. From LCS, and I'll show a small demo later on how to do that, you take your deployable package and you apply it on any of your runtime environment. If it's a sandbox environment, it's a self-service tool. You go to LCS, you actually say, I want to maintain that environment, and you deploy that package. Data packages, same thing. There's a tool in LCS called Configuration and Data Manager. It is used to deploy data packages to your sandbox environment. And also, that particular sandbox environment is deployed by you directly from LCS. So as you can see, a common theme here, LCS is the common portal for all your OLM scenarios. Once you get to a stage where you're ready to go live, you're ready to go to production, and at that stage, you have gone through several iterations of fixing your code, fixing it again, and so on. The assumption is you end up with packages that you call your gold deployable package or your gold data packages. And these will also be uploaded to LCS. You deploy a production environment. This is something that the DSE team takes care of. So once you are ready, you are within LCS, and you go through the several steps of the methodology until you're ready to go to production. You deploy that environment. You go and apply your final deployable packages to that environment. So basically what you have done here is you have taken all the code that was developed and tested, developed on the DevBox, tested on the OAT, and you ask DSE to deploy it on your production. Before you go live, you have to configure that environment with data. So we support two scenarios here, and this is also something the DSE team will do for you. You can either take your sandbox database and simply ask the DSE team to copy it to production. And this is only supported for a first-time go-live. If you're already live, we won't do that. So you'll take your sandbox database, and it will be copied by the DSE team to production. From LCS, you can have a request for that, and the DSE team will achieve it for you. In addition, you can also, if you don't want to use that method, or if you want to configure additional data, you can also take your final data packages and apply them using LCS on that production environment. And once this is ready and validated, you are live. There's another scenario that is supported from LCS. It's a very common scenario for testing and for debugging. At any point of time, using LCS as well, you can request DSE to make a copy of your production database and install it on your sandbox or connect your sandbox environment to it. And by the way, LCS allows you to have more than one sandbox environment depending on how many, depending on your subscription level, but you can have more than one sandbox environment. So this is a request where you ask for a copy of your database, it's copied to your sandbox with all the production data, and then you can start testing on your sandbox environment with production data. What we're working on, it's not supported yet, we're gonna issue documentation on how to do that, is also how to move some of these SQL Azure databases, by the way, these are SQL Azure databases, to a local dev VM where you can also debug these types of databases. Right now, there's a procedure that we have documented how you connect a dev VM to a SQL Azure database. But we're also working on a scenario to facilitate the debugging, not just the testing of this data. Question?
Moving your data from production to sandbox, do you have ways of scrubbing that data? Sensitive data, you don't want your sandbox or your dev environment. Anything to scrub the data?
Yes, great question. Right now, what we support is it's moved as is, and we'll give you scripts that you can run on your sandbox. You have full access to your sandbox to scrub it, and these scripts are customizable. But we are working on making this even more automated as a part of the process. The assumption right now is what happens is you move your production data to sandbox. It's only the admin of the project that is allowed to issue that request or even have access to this. And you'll acknowledge that this is production data on your sandbox. So the only person that would have access to this data is the admin of your LCS project and the admin on that particular environment. So it is today the responsibility of the partner or the customer to scrub that data, but this is definitely a scenario we're working towards where it becomes easier to do. Go ahead. Correct.
So basically Microsoft can just take the copy of the production database and copy it to all the like demo images, like what they're testing images.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, so
The
question is refreshing all the boxes with production database. Mm-hmm. Right?
Correct. Yes. Well, the question is, can Microsoft push this production database to any other image in the LCS project? Just to clarify here, we are talking about these projects, we are talking about the LCS implementation project running in the public Microsoft subscription. This is not a private subscription because we do have another way of actually having LCS deployments in a private partner subscription. So Microsoft, what we support today is moving production data to any of your sandboxes. But as I mentioned, we don't support yet moving to a dev box because a dev box is also called a sandbox tier one. I'm talking about sandbox tier twos in this case. If you want to move your code to a dev box, we will be providing scripts and documentation on what you can do with a SQL Azure database to convert it into a SQL Server database. The key difference here, your developer boxes are one box installations, even though they're in the cloud, whether they're in the cloud or they're in a downloadable, or you're running the downloadable VHD, so you're running a local VM. You are running on SQL Server that can actually work even offline. So we will be providing documentation on how you can move this data from SQL Azure to SQL Server. But as of today, we don't automatically support this with a click of a button between SQL Server and SQL Azure and SQL Server. Does this answer your question?
Yes, just to clarify, Microsoft uses typically three environments in the foundation project, right? Production, dev, test, and...
Yes, a standard subscription comes with three environments. What we call a tier one sandbox. A tier one sandbox is either a dev box or a build box, and an unlimited number of local VMs, obviously. Well, not obviously, but an unlimited number of local VMs. The second environment is a tier two sandbox, and this is basically your pre-prod at this stage. So it is like an HA environment running SQL Azure, and it's as close as it gets to a real production environment. And the third one will be your production environment. You can add on to that service and have more, buy more dev boxes in the cloud and buy more sandbox tier two. But the standard service correct comes with three environments. Correct.
When it comes to tier 1, there will be an instruction to do that. So we can request Microsoft a copy of the code database and do it by ourselves.
That is correct. So you'll refresh all the tier 2 sandboxes, and for the tier 1 sandboxes, it'll be something, it will be responsibility of the customer or the partner. Correct. So here's a slide showing you how you can, one of the requests you can do here to refresh a sandbox database. We'll go to the support page of LCS. Under Site Reliability Work Item, you'll click on Add. You'll select you want to refresh your sandbox. A screen will come. You say basically, you select your source environment, which is, in this case, it'll show you the production environments you have. You select your target environment and some other parameters. You acknowledge that it will have some, you're basically moving production data to a sandbox and other acknowledgement. And DSE will actually support this for you. There's a workflow around this, and LCS supports a lot of workflows in these requests. You will be notified when this service, when the servicing of this item is done. For this one, I believe it's about half an hour. This is a simple copy. This is a refresh of the data. The code, basically, it is assumed that you're running the same code in production and data, so that's why I refer to it as the gold and sandbox. That's why I refer to it as the gold deployable packages. So you should not have any code running in production unless it's an asset in your asset library, and these will be your deployable packages. So at any point of time, if you want to refresh your sandbox with code that is in production, you will simply reapply that deployable package on Sandbox yourself. So you don't need Microsoft's help for that. You can do it yourself. But yeah, good question. Thanks for question.
Rather than using data packages, is there any way to have a tier 2 sandbox that you use for configuration data during implementation and then do the reverse and copy that configuration data to a production environment?
Yeah. Great question. The question is, rather than using data packages, what if I have spent hours or days configuring my tier 2 sandbox, and I simply, and you know, it takes time to configure, change, fix, and so on, and then I end up with a gold database. Can I simply ask Microsoft to copy that database and put it in production? The answer is yes, but this is only supported first time before you go live. So once we do that copy once, and we acknowledge, you know, the customer is live right now, this scenario will not be supported anymore. So it is supported for first-time go-lives. That is correct. It saves a lot of hours.
But that configuration, that other tier 2 configuration environment, would have to be an additional environment we would purchase other than the three that's...
The question is, should this be an additional environment? It is up to you. No, it could be the regular sandbox we provide you. If you need more sandboxes you'd have to buy, but it doesn't have to be. There is no difference currently between any of the tier 2 sandboxes. If you need more, you can buy more. If one is okay for your processes, you'll just use one. Keep in mind that you can save money, maybe not, you can save time by having more than one sandbox. But if you wanna only have one sandbox, at any point of time, you can redeploy your sandbox. You can think of your sandbox almost as a you know, reusable asset or disposable asset. So if it gets at some point, it doesn't have your config, you can keep a copy of SQL Azure DB. You have a copy of your deployable packages, which is your code in LCS. You can just redeploy that environment, apply the deployable packages for your code, and then bring the code from production. So you basically can use your config. Your gold config. Any more questions? So, about configuration and data manager. This is the LCS tool that gives you an interface that allows you to apply data packages on any environment. It could be a demo environment running in an LCS partner project, it can be a sandbox environment, or it can be a production environment. From the LCS main page, you will click on Configuration and Data Manager. It opens the tool. You have the choice to select one package and apply it, but in most cases, you will select more than one package. And once you select more than one package and you click the Apply button, you can apply concurrently or sequentially. And concurrently is faster, but it will fail if you have dependent packages. So basically, it's up to you to know your data, to know your configuration, and decide what to do there. Can you repeat the question? Yes. The question is, how do you find the order? There are different ways. Right now, we do support the concept, I'm not going into details on this today, of something called process data packages. Process data packages are data packages associated with your BPM library. BPM is a tool in LCS that allows you to define a hierarchy of your business processes. You can associate data packages with these, and once you build those data packages and associate them with these business processes, you can define dependencies between those. And CDM understand those dependencies. If you're using plain old CDM here, you will have to know yourself the dependency between those packages. So if you are using process data packages, which is a different tool, it's based on the BPM, the CDM has context, and it will know in what order these packages should be applied. This goes back to the gentleman's question here. This is more an art than science. Configuring this, we're not leading you to think right here that you can go live in 5 to 10 minutes. It's a lot of work that goes into building data packages. We ship a lot of data packages out of the box from Microsoft, and the order is defined. We basically use the orders. If you see, there are numbers. So if you follow the numbers we have, it will be the right orders. But it's not going to work for every customer. You will have to customize these, have your own data packages, and so on. So it is more an art than a science. But even though it is not going to be seamless, it's a much, much simpler way and much more repeatable and reliable way to go live using data packages. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just simply writes the data on top of the existing data. Yeah. Yes, it's a data import. Yeah. It uses the concept of data entities, but it's a lot more than this. It understands your validation rules. It will fail if you break indices, but it will fail softly. It will never corrupt your data. So it has the concept of, I believe there's a data management session that goes more into details around this. It knows basically your validation rule. It has the concept of staging tables. The demo also shows a little bit of that. And any data that will break any of your validation rule will stay in staging, will never actually end up in the actual table. So it's a little more sophisticated than simply filling up SQL with records. There's a question there. Yeah. Yes. Great question. So let me just correct one thing you said. You will not have to be making data packages. You'll basically make one collection of data packages, and you have to apply them to more than one company. But so the creation of data packages happens only once. It's the application of these data packages to a particular company is what you have to do more than once today. But we are working on automating the copy company solution right from LCS. It is the most popular feature. Unfortunately, it's a very complex feature So because there's a lot of company references within the data itself. So if it was just a matter of just taking that data and copying it, we'd have done it a long time ago. We have a couple of copy company prototypes that we're working on. But it seems simple, but it's quite a complex feature. And we're working on it, and it will come. Because we need to have a nice user interface to basically let you select what happens if you have references to existing company. What do you want to do with these references? Because it's not always simply copying of data. So as you're applying data packages, you can select the sequence if you are basically applying them sequentially and in what order they want to be applied. You select the destination environment, you select a company or a legal entity that you're applying to, and then you hit apply. In the main environment page of LCS, you can click on the data package history button, and it will show you a history of all the data packages that have been applied to that particular environment. From there, you can actually click on an actual job. There's a link that sends you back to AX to look at more details as to what happened to these packages. For example, you can see from the screen here, and I'm going to demo this also, that this package has partially succeeded, one of them. So you'll be able to navigate to AX and dig deeper into what happened, why did it not succeed completely, and actually take actions based on this. Installing hotfixes. The first type of hotfix I mentioned briefly at the beginning is a metadata hotfix. Microsoft will be issuing X++ fixes. These are small targeted fixes, basically that you have to take, we allow you to take them one by one. They're not cumulative. Sometimes they're regulatory features. Sometimes they are actually just a fix to a bug. These types of hotfixes, metadata hotfixes, have to go through a dev box. So you get them from LCS, you put them on your dev box, you build, test, recreate your deployable package, and then send them back to LCS, send the deployable package back to LCS and deploy it to Sandbox. So there's a lot of conflict resolution tools that come with the new Visual Studio Dev tools of AX7 or of the new Dynamics AX that didn't exist before. We really have optimized a lot on this experience, especially from a conflict resolution perspective. The second type of hotfixes are binary hotfixes. These are typically cumulative. There will be one about every week. It's basically a cumulative version of all the binaries of your AX environment. These can be applied directly to any environment. They don't have to go through the dev ALM process flow. So you can take it, apply it to your dev box, your build box, your servicing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that on Friday, too. As of November, with the new release of Dynamics AX, which will be branded as Dynamics 365, the new platform of AX is locked. So there are three models that we consider the platform: foundation, application, foundation, platform, and test essentials. These models are considered a part of the platform. You will not have any X++ hotfixes for these models. You will not be able to overlay them. They're going to be considered one platform. So moving forward, you will be able to continuously stay on the latest AX platform without going through any code upgrade, any upgrade whatsoever. The whole platform is going to be like a big binary hotfix. So this is a huge change of culture, especially for old-time AX folks like some people here, like myself. This is really taking us into the future, into having a real software as a service. You will only go through major upgrades when you're moving application, when you're moving your workloads. But as far as the platform is concerned, you'll take advantage of new platform features, new extensibility, new performance, all of these fixes in a continuous fashion. You will be able to simply take that new platform, use LCS, and upgrade your environments. More details about that in the session on Friday, especially when it comes to customizations and extensions, because they're related. So this is the flow to apply a binary hotfix, including a locked platform. It's simply going to be in your LCS asset library. You can go and, using LCS, apply it to a dev box, to a build box, to a tier 2 sandbox, or to your production environment. and applying it to your production environment involves the DSE team. It's a request for a DSE team. It usually takes about an hour and a half, and you can refresh your environment with the new fix. Is this a question? It's usually the other way around. The X++ hotfixes might depend on the binary hotfix. Yeah. But binary hotfixes, I can tell you from a platform perspective, and the platform does not include the only binaries that are not part of the platform are management reporter and the retail component binaries. So these are treated special. But from a platform perspective, they will not depend on an X++ hotfix for sure. There might be some management reporter or retail binaries that depends on X++ hotfix, but it'll be the exception, not the rule. Yeah. But the platform itself, you will not have any dependency on X++. If there are no more questions, let's start seeing some nicer screens, the demos. Okay, I lost connectivity to my dev box. Just gonna take a second. I'm starting with Visual Studio. This is a dev box that was deployed using LCS. I have the fleet management sample solution right here. What I will do is I'm a developer working. I'm going to add a field to that table. I'm also going to add a method to that table. And don't judge me on my coding skills here. I'm just showing you how VSTS work. So I just added a method. I also want to add a test. And there is a task recording that my functional expert has created for me. I have synchronized it. It's sitting on my desktop. It's really an XML file. And somebody went through AX, went through the products. Somebody who is not a programmer ran through the task, generated the recording, and gave me that XML file. So what I will do here is I will say go to the add-ins folder, and I say import task recording. It's sitting right here on my desktop. I'm gonna put it in my current project, and I'll say import. And this is all I have to do. What I have right now is an X++ test case that was automatically generated for me. I didn't have to write this test. It's somebody who understands supply chain management did it for me. So I have the test here. It runs as is. As you can see, there is a setup data section to it where you can fill it with the data you want. It's obviously customizable. In most cases, this is not going to be the end scenario. You will have to add maybe a couple of lines if you wish to. But if you don't, this is a running test. You can add some steps to validate data and so on to it. But as you can see, even if it's not your final test, it gave you a huge head start. This is 95% of the code you have to write to test this particular scenario. So once you are done, you actually go to VSTS, you go to your pending changes, and you check in. So I've checked in my changes right now. I will go to my VSTS project, and I have this build. This build, I didn't have to create it. This was automatically created for me when I deployed my build environment from LCS. If you take a look at this build, and this is standard VSCS features, all what we have done as the Dynamics AX team, we have actually used standard VSCS feature and created a build definition for you that knows how to build Dynamics AX solutions. So it does some preparation here, which cleans up your machine, cleans up your data, and so on. And all of these are scripts on your build VM. You can go to your build VM, remote desktop, and look at all of these scripts, customize them, so on, and basically even learn if you want to reverse engineer that process, if you want to do it in other places. It builds the solution for me, does a database sync, deploys my reports, generate the packages, which are the deployable packages that need to go to my cloud environment, or it also generates model files for me. These model files are typically used by ISVs for distribution of their code. And it publishes all these packages to the VSTS cloud. Then it sets up the test automation, executes the tests, and basically ends the test. And at the end, it publishes the results. These are the steps of a Dynamics AX build. All the scripts, as I said, are called from here. They are located on your build machines if you want to customize them. So if I go back to the build here, I can look at a previous build that ran. I see this one succeeded. You can go inspect the results and so on, inspect test cases. You can also queue a new build. I say OK, and I'm starting a new build right now. It's as simple as that. And all of these features come out of the box. Unless you want to customize something, there is nothing you need to do except run the build right now. So by you checking in your models, the build will build them for you. Yeah. Yeah. Can I do what? I'm sorry. What's the question? How long did the build take? Yes, the build, depending on the size of your models. I'm building Fleet right now, which is an extension model, and you should be able. The larger part of the time is doing database sync, which is about 40 minutes, but the build itself should take between 20 and 25 minutes. Correct. So, yeah, it's somewhere here. I don't know what page I was on. But yes, it will show you how long it took. But this includes running tests, uploading deployable packages to the cloud and stuff. So it's not just how long it took for the build. Yeah. So let's say I've decided this is a good build. I want to go and deploy it to LCS. I will go here to my LCS portal. Go to the asset library. Software deployable packages. Add one. This is my Fleet 1.2. And I select this is an application deployable package. I upload the file. I have it here. And this is the process that we'll be working. We're also going to add some automation to this. There's still a little disconnect between when VSTS ends and how it ends up in LCS. So we'll be working on also having an option where you can decide for a certain criteria, if your tests passed 100%, for example, automatically upload to LCS. So I am uploading this file to LCS. Confirm, and it appears here in my asset library. I can go back to this is my demo environment in LCS. It's a sandbox environment. I can click maintain, apply updates. This is an application deployable package. I select Fleet 1.2, and I hit apply. I'm not gonna do it. This takes about an hour. I can show you the results of a previous one. It takes about between an hour and a half. Very soon it's gonna take less and less. We're working on optimizing this. Our goal is to have minimal downtime. But even an hour and a half compared to basically a lot of the previous releases and how you used to do ALM and AX, it will, you know. This is the code. But this is your entire application. This is not this one package could include every single piece of code you developed. So it is, you do it only once. Most of the time is spent actually on doing the DB sync, not on applying the code. And this is the part where we can optimize. So if you go to history here, you can look at packages you applied on this environment. This one I tried, I believe, yesterday. And it ran through all the steps, including stopping scripts, doing a backup for rollback, updating your code, et cetera, et cetera. There's access to logs. It's quite a sophisticated tool. If something fails, you have access to logs. You can download logs, report them to Microsoft. If one step fails, for random reasons, you can rerun it. So it is quite a sophisticated tool, and we're actually investing very heavily in making this whole experience as seamless as possible. If I go to Configuration and Data Manager, let's say at this stage I want to apply data. What I will do is I select the packages that I want to apply. Click Apply, apply sequentially. I can change the order I'm applying packages in right here. I will tag it with the run number. And this tag is important to basically verify. So for example, you can say this is the first time go live, or this is the second time you update your data. So these tags will help you later on when you look at history and so on to group these packages into a particular run, to know that they all ran within a particular, within the same run. You go to next, you select your destination environment. I'm gonna go to my demo box. Selecting a company. Still trying to find the companies on my boxes. Maybe it's time for questions. Go ahead. Not today, but this is something we would like to do. If you're applying sequentially, you're not going to gain much time because there is this dependency. But yes, definitely for packages where concurrent application is possible, we will enable selecting more than one company at the same time. So you select a company, and you apply, and you proceed. So if I go right now to a list of packages I applied not too long ago on my demo environment, and look at the data package history of that particular environment, I can see that, for example, this address package says partially succeeded. So something went wrong here. I was not able to import all the data. I click on job history detail. And this takes me to AX. AX provides a lot more sophisticated data management tools. So now I can go and see the history of this package, what happened to it, and act on it. So I can see it has partially succeeded. I look at the execution log, and I can see that the series data packet, the series data entity, had about 34,000 records in it. Five of them are still pending. They didn't apply. So if I click here, and you see view staging data, and I filter by error, you can see those six or five records that were not applied. And you select one, and it actually gives you the validation error that the value battle CRE in field county is not found in the related table. So it understands all the relationships between your entities. And if you have a reference to a non-existing entity, it will actually not corrupt your data and will not apply. All of this data is sitting in these tables here. These are staging tables. So at this stage, you can say, you know, I don't care for validation. I'm still going to copy it to the target. You can delete, clean it up. You will act upon this data. This data is in staging tables. It is not yet in your target tables. And this is basically one of the examples I mentioned, that this is not a pure copy of records. It actually understands your data model, understands the relationships, and actually makes sure you don't shoot yourself in the foot. That's why it's a little slower. Well, it's slower than a DB backup or DB restore. I can see this one, for example, it has 7,000 pending that I couldn't apply. Only 670 worked. And here, it's a bunch of errors. It's telling me I cannot create a record because it already exists. So there's a unique index on this particular record. It already existed, and I tried to insert it, and it basically say you can't do that. And so on and so forth. You can actually act. There's plenty of actions you can take on the staging tables. Any questions? Oh, the question is, will user of AX be able to add cities? Absolutely. This is not a end user scenario. This is more an admin / consultant scenario. What we're covering here is what we call the development ALM process. So this is everything that happens from initiation of the project all the way to the day your application is live. So this is not the persona of the end user adding cities and so on. Yeah, absolutely. I am not demonstrating the AX application right now. Within the AX application, you can add cities, district, and so on. But in that case, the application is live already. You actually have somebody who works for the company adding users and cities. This is configuration of your data before you go live. Does this answer your question? I don't believe there's a session, but I'll be glad to show you if there's time at the end. It's how to create it from the development environment, or if there's some time, I can show you. I didn't prepare for this, but I'll figure something out. Any more questions? Okay, the question is, how do you roll back? Is the question, how do you roll back a deployable package that you applied on production? Yeah. So did this deployable package fail during applying it, or it failed validation?
It went fine, but...
It failed validation. So hopefully this would not happen in production. That is why we have a pre-prod or a sandbox.
Well,
so
it does all the time in real life.
Yes, okay. So it does. So... The goal of LCS, I know it does happen in real life, is to make sure you have a repeatable process that helps you that this doesn't happen in real life. But in case it happens in real life, you will basically fix the problem, create a new deployable package, and apply it.
That's multiple hours.
Correct. Rolling back is supported, but it's not going to be faster. So it is better if you basically reapply a new package. What we have, we're actually working on rollback scenarios, not necessarily in this case, but I guess it applies in this case. We are working on a rollback scenario. It's not out yet. It'll be out in the next couple of releases of LCS, I believe, where if the package fails to apply to a sandbox, for example, you can just say, abandon this. I don't want to debug it. I don't want to figure out what's wrong with it at this stage. Just abandon this and roll back to the previous stage of your application. This is a much more common scenario. I know the scenario you're describing is, no, there's nothing wrong with the package, it all went fine, but there's a bug in your code. And yes, for that case, you actually will have to create a new package and apply it one more time.
Yeah. Today, back very quickly. Our environment, we're in multiple countries. Mm-hmm. One instance. So you never know potentially because testing is the you just have to do what it is.
Correct.
However, something here breaks. I could do something in China that breaks something.
I understand. So. The question is today, as in AX2012 world and AX2009, you can simply take code, something a developer created, and drop it on a production environment. These days will never come back, and we don't want them to come back. We'd rather focus on making rollbacks and applying packages faster. This is where all our investments are going. This is actually most of the Microsoft employees working on the platform. This is the scenario we're focusing on. This is a SaaS service. This is something where Microsoft is promising 99.99 uptime. We're going to service it. There's a lot of stuff we took away for the right reason from you guys, so you don't have to worry about them. But in return, we will never allow code to just be dropped. Everything has to go through a formal process of creating packages that work, that have been created through a valid build. And then, so yes, I understand the convenience. It is something we're not going to bring back, but we will focus on optimizing on this process. So hopefully the 1.5 hour will become 1 hour, half an hour, and maybe zero downtime in the future. Okay, the question is if you're running multiple projects and multiple installations worldwide at the same time, are you gonna need more than one sandbox? It depends. Is this the same application? Just it is exactly the same code base?
No, it's gonna be different code base, but it's gonna target the same system eventually.
It's different code base, so you'll have different systems in production? Okay, so if you have different code bases coming from different projects, you technically don't need, unless you need very advanced sandbox testing, you can resolve all of these different code bases on dev and test boxes, on one box. So you'll bring them to a dev box, you'll create your deployed package, you test them. It is a more economical way to do it. Now, if you happen to, you want to run two UATs, on different code bases with functional experts and so on, yes, you would need more than one sandboxes. But I wouldn't, especially if you need different test data, but if you're working on the same test data, and if your UAT, if your production, your end system, the production system is one code base, it is better to have the UAT have your entire code base, not part of it, because otherwise you are not testing what will be in production. So that's why I basically said, if you're running different code bases and so on, stick with the test and dev environment first. But once you get to UAT, your UAT should be as close to your production as possible. Because otherwise, you are almost defeating the purpose of a pre-prod. Because you're taking the risk of what you take from the pre-prod and putting it in that production is not exactly what the end result of the production would be. You always want to be in a state where before you go live, the UAT that you tested on is exactly the same as your production environment. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I guess today we're using a separate stage for every project. Mm-hmm. And then we merge them up and have like a global test environment.
Correct, and I think you would still do that. So you can merge them up in a test. So for that, you can order an additional tier one sandbox, which would be much cheaper than a tier two sandbox. Don't get me wrong. In some cases, you will need a tier two sandbox. Maybe you want more capacity. You're testing on different test sets and so on, and then you will retire that tier two sandbox and have a pre-prod. But typically, what I'm emphasizing on is before you actually go to production, your last sandbox has to have, should not be emerging environment, should be an exact copy of what you're going live with. What we are working towards, and this is coming also in the next maybe two or three LCS release cycle, we're gonna turn the tier two sandbox into a real pre-production where you don't have much access to it and we'll automate everything for you. So you say, I'm going live, and it'll just go live. So in that case, and I'm not sure how the offer is gonna be affected if you're gonna end up with an additional sandbox for free and so on, we're working this out. But in that case, you know, having additional sandboxes for your own UAT testing might help. But we are working in the future towards, instead of just having a sandbox, we will actually have a pre-prod environment for you. So you do everything and you say, okay, I'm going live today, and that's all you have to do once you test. How are you doing on time? We have some time, more questions? Go ahead. Correct. What systems, I'm sorry? The end user. Oh, I see. Currently, I mean, the training of the users could also happen on a sandbox, but they could happen on a demo legal entity. So if you need additional environments just for training, you're going to have to basically buy additional sandboxes. But there is no reason you cannot have your training on a pre-production environment, on a sandbox environment, like the original one. As a part of the standard offer, you have only one tier two, one tier one. The one tier one you can either use as a dev or a build. Typically, people pick a build because they can develop on premise. And the third one is the production environment, obviously. Correct. You can pay more and buy more. A customer pay more and buy more tier two environments. They can buy more dev environments. Yes, correct.
And let's say, and they will show up in LCS in that fixed list of environments, not cloud hosted, but in that kind of fixed list.
Yes, the question is, if you buy more environment, will it show up in the main page in LCS that these are the environments I bought that I have access to? Yes, that is correct. Okay, that's also another popular request. The question is, maybe some of you don't know, some our partners can run in an LCS project where they can deploy dev environments or demo environment in their own subscription. They're responsible for that, maintaining those machines, maintaining the costs, and so on. So if I have a database in those environments, and by the way, this is a SQL Server database, is there a way to move that database and put it in a customer SaaS implementation project running? Automatically, no. There are, at the end of the day, it's a SQL database. SQL Server database. We are considering, as I said, but solving it via documentation, how to convert a SQL Server database into a SQL Azure DB and vice versa in the previous case. So we will be publishing documentation on how to do this. But it will definitely be something that we do not support. It will be the partner's choice to decide to move this data. And you can't take this to production. This is something you will take from dev to dev or from dev to sandbox.
So basically, the right suggestion to partners is to suggest customers to get another tier two environment and use it as clean, pre-prod, like stage. Right?
For all the customers that have gone live so far, I believe most of them, I don't have all the data right now, did not need a second tier two. So they simply had a dev box. configured the sandbox, went live, and then basically repurposed the sandbox for the next stage.
They did it with all the data packages?
They did it with the data packages, and the first time go live, they did it with the movement of the gold config from the sandbox to the production. Correct. They did their testing. The question is, where did they do their testing? That's probably a better question for our solution architecture team that did this together. But my guess is they actually kept a copy of the SQL Azure database. There's something I actually failed to mention. You can always roll back. You can ask DSE. So let's say you have your gold config at time zero right now. You go do your testing, and when it passes, you can roll back your database to time zero. Actually, if any of you have used the SQL Azure portal, it is so simple, it's scary. You simply take a slider and you slide it back. That's what our service engineers will do for you. And you slide it back, and the database will go back to a particular point of time, and then you can go. So my guess is some of this happened. But yes, I'm not discouraging getting a second sandbox. It will simplify your process. I'm saying in some cases it is not necessary.
But if you do decide to do staging that you're going to use basically as your basis for production, it would have to be a tier 2 sandbox.
If you want to do serious staging, serious testing basically, UAT testing, yes, it has to be a tier 2 sandbox. Question? Okay, so the question is, are there plans to deploy more than one environment at a time? I am assuming you are talking about the LCS project where you're deploying in your own subscription, correct? Because it's not very relevant to a customer project of deploying 80 environments. So we don't have any. It's a good suggestion. But if you deploy the dev topology, I don't know if you've tried this one, it allows you to deploy more than one at the same time. Actually, it got, you're right, it got limited. And one of the reasons we limited it, because there was an issue with the build box, but also because we had not implemented sequential concurrent deployment. So even if you say five, you're actually not saving any time. It's a good ask. We haven't focused too much on these types of projects that are not in the SaaS subscription. Most of the focus was on the customer projects. But this is something we can consider, of basically having multiple deployments. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In what cases, I don't get this request too often. In what cases, so training, you said?
Training, yeah. I mean, I run a training organization, and I'm giving training classes.
Yeah. Okay, valid ask.
Just to get back to the rollback question from before. Did you say that there is a supported rollback in production, or you're working on it?
Right now what we support is a what we call a roll forward. So if you take a package to apply to production and for some reason it fails, we will actually make sure it succeeds. So the DSE person from Microsoft, and if the service engineers can do it, they will be an engineer. So we do support roll forward, and we are working on a rollback also. It's not out yet. I can't remember the time frame, but we definitely are working on a rollback, where if it fails, you can decide to basically get support, so you roll forward, or just simply roll back to the previous case. I don't know if you noticed in the demo I showed, the second step of applying a package is backing up everything you have. We have everything you need to roll back. We just don't have the user experience behind it. So if you absolutely need to roll back, there is a way, and it's a very escalated case where roll forward is there is currently a technical way, but it needs an engineer to go to your box and actually roll back. It is not supported by automation or user interfaces. So we have all the Lego pieces ready for a rollback. We just haven't released it yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, rolling back the database is not that hard. I believe you're talking about code, correct? Yeah, rollback of the database is supported already. It's actually very, very simple. All right, any more questions? Yeah. Okay. So the question is, if you want to move data from production to sandbox or to dev, is just a DB copy the only option, or you can do other things, correct?
Yeah.
No, DB copy is the most popular and faster option. But you can use the data management capabilities, just like I showed in the demo. Go to the data management page of AX and actually export data using data entities or data packages and import them on any other environment. This is the most reliable way to do it. It's just not the most quick way to do it. All right. Thanks all. Thanks for coming. You managed to finish on time. Thank you.